Good morning. This sermon is entitled, For a New Life. My first question to you is, are you content with your spiritual life? Would you appreciate knowing that our spiritual growth is a process and that we can have some influence on that personally? On or about 40 years ago, Pastor Gary Spencer gave me this Bible. It's an NIV study Bible. But he had taken the time to underline a bunch of different scriptures in it and then put a page reference to the next one that he'd underlined as well. And it was very helpful to me. I read through those a number of different times, and I'm hoping that by putting those together in a sermon, that it'll be helpful to each of us. And the first one was that Linda just read. It's in the setting of righteousness through faith. And it's Romans 3:21-25. But now righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So righteousness through faith, justified freely by His grace, redeemed by Jesus Christ, our spiritual life begins with faith in Jesus Christ, and it grows by the grace of God. We are all made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. Faith. The next scripture that was brought to my attention was that we are slaves to be slaves of righteousness, slaves to righteousness. It's from Romans 6:22-23. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit that you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life with Christ Jesus our Lord. We are free from sin. We are slaves to God. And it leads to holiness and results in us spending eternity with Jesus Christ. Is that awesome or what? Romans 6:10-11, the death He died, they're speaking of Jesus, He died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen? We're all going to be slaves to something. I was wondering if I should have written that, but as a Christian, we've already exchanged being a slave to sin for being a slave to righteousness. That's part of what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ, a Christian. Romans 6:16-22, in that scripture, Paul distinguishes the difference for us that might be a little slow on the pickup, like I maybe was. Slaves to sin leads to death. Slaves to righteousness, the obedience that comes with that, leads to eternal life. That's pretty black and white. Don't forget it. The next scripture is submission to rulers and masters. And I won't go into all the submission stuff because we don't like some of the rules, or I certainly don't anyway. But rulers and masters on earth. 1 Peter 2:22 to 24. He, speaking of Jesus, committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness, because by his wounds we are healed. Jesus sacrificed himself for our sins once for all. We're no longer dead to sin, but we rather are alive for righteousness. I urge you to pursue that righteousness, because the innocent Jesus was sacrificed for the guilty. That's us. We were guilty then. We are to be instruments of righteousness, because Jesus' death brings salvation to us who trust in him. Trust in Jesus. He's the answer. John 3:16 and 17, we know 16, I'm sure. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But we sometimes don't always continue that with verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We're saved. God loves us. He saves us through his Son. He saved us through his Son on the cross. So what is our response to Jesus on the cross and God's love for us that he would even sacrifice his Son? It better be belief. It better be faith. Anything short of that is a mistake. Hebrews 11:1. I thought it was kind of weird this morning. I was reading my devotion, and that was the scripture. God works in interesting ways, huh? So I had to add it this morning before I came. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we can't see or we don't see. That's faith. That's the faith we're talking about. Romans 10:17 speaks of faith as well. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So to grow spiritually, we need to hear the message. And you hear the message preached here every week, even if it's by me once in a while. Mike does a wonderful job of bringing the message from God. But do we stop with that 1 hour or 2 hours on a week? All right, raise your hands if you do. No, don't do that. We need to be in the Word. Anything short of hearing the words preached and being in the Word is going to stunt our growth. Who wants your growth stunted? Any children out here want their growth? No. We're all children. And no one wants their growth stunted, especially when you're talking about spiritual growth. You know, let's not delay the new life that we can have in Christ by stunting our growth by not paying attention. That's awfully important, it seems to me. So do I believe that we need to be in worship regularly and in the Word even more so? Absolutely. Better we know God and the better we know His Word, the better our spiritual lives will be, and the better our example to those that are always watching. We talked about that yesterday morning in men's breakfast. Whether you believe it or not, just look around. If you're doing something good, there's somebody watching. If you're doing something bad, I can just about guarantee you somebody's going to notice. But whether you think another person on earth is watching what you're doing or not, there's someone else watching. And we should be doing our best to please the Lord that watches over us all the time. Repent or perish was the underlying message by Peter at Pentecost in Acts 2:36-38. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And goes on a little bit later in Acts 2:41. It says, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number. Now, we all know that story, that day. Praise God. What would it be like if we had that kind of response in this community or any other? 3,000 added to the, well, we'd have to ship some people in from out of town, obviously, but, you know, we don't need to go there. But a great number heard the message. And Peter had responded earlier in Acts 2:40, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Now, I had to get something about corruption in, you know, I mean, in the society that we're in right now and the situation we're in right now. So my question to you is, do you think this world that we're in is any more corrupt than or even as corrupt as the early church from Acts 2? Kind of hard to compare, maybe, but I don't know that there was any more corruption going on in Acts 2 than there is last week. I'll leave you guys up to that. You can make that decision. But those of us that have made the choice that those 3,000 made that day have just, you know, have begun already to our journey with Christ. And we're not supposed to just, okay, made that decision and rest on that. We have a responsibility to continue, whether it be in teaching or fellowship or prayer as believers, to live out what you just professed. You know, we are to be lights, because I think we're in a pretty dark world and corrupt world that we're living in now. And we can be the lights to that. We can shed light on the darkness of this world and be the representative of Jesus that we claim to be. Another verse, we're called to persevere. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith. And 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. And then later in that same chapter of Hebrews 10, verse 35, so don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. We have some responsibilities there. We will receive a promise, but don't just give in to the world around you. James 4:7-8, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. That's the key. Hold on to God, no matter what. He'll hold on to you. That's a promise. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but does God keep his promises? All of them. Matthew 10:22. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And 32 and 33 of Matthew 10. Whoever acknowledges me before man, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Wow. Can that be any more clear? Yeah. We might be faced at some time with a life or death decision at the hands of this world or militants, rebels. I hope not. I'm pretty tough, I think. Not so much. I don't want to be held at gunpoint and have to, okay, you're going to die if you don't denounce your Lord. But hey, if it comes to that, I know the decision I'm going to have to make, because guess what? I get to go be with Jesus. And there are people being martyred in this corrupt world regularly. Don't forget that. And don't think that we're not above that. We have the freedom in this country so far to be able to express ourselves and freedom of religion, and we don't have to hide. It's rather scary when you look at statistics or pay attention to statistics that there are more new Christians in countries that are persecuted for it than there are in the free United States. I think we take, as a populace, unfortunately, take a lot of that for granted. And we shouldn't. We may be persecuted for being a Christian in this community. We may have to choose God rather than just go along with some crowd or some rule or some ridicule or worse. We may have our Christian values trampled on, whether it be about gay rights or abortion rights or all kinds of issues that I think are part of the corrupt society. We'll have our own personal issues, but we need to stand firm, because as the body of Christ, if we can't stand on the side of God, then what did Jesus save us for? Did he save us just to go be with him and don't represent him in anything we do? Don't stand firm? I don't think so. Revelation 2:10 says, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer, but you, oops, I can't read my own writing. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days, but be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. That sounds like a guarantee to me. Be faithful. It's where we start, and that's where we come back to. We can all grow spiritually, and we can be better examples of Christian, as a Christian, to our Christian family and to our the non-Christian world that's around us. And I just ask that each of us would pursue a better life in Jesus Christ and represent him in everything that we think, do, or say. Not an easy task, but when you put Jesus first, it becomes a lot easier. So in these verses this morning so far that I've shared with you, that Gary marked my Bible, and they're still marked, by the way. This Bible looks like it's been getting carried around for 40 years, maybe, but That's why I keep carrying it. But we've talked about faith, righteousness, holiness, righteousness again, faith again, repentance, perseverance, and faith again. But there's a recurring theme in God's word throughout, and that's faith. And we have to have that faith. Without your faith, you're lost. Now, maybe not eternally lost, but if you didn't start with faith and prove that you have that faith and show it in the things that you think, do, and say, I don't know. That's between you and God. But I can't judge that. But I can say in summary that to the mature Christians, I challenge you to seek a stronger spiritual faith and spiritual life than what you have so far. That you need to be in the Word often. Be in worship often. Be in fellowship with other Christians often. And continue to fight the good fight. This morning in our run the good race. Keep running. Demonstrate your faith in all that you do. And there's always someone watching, like we said. New Christians, challenge you to grow in your faith by being in the Word as well, by being in worship, by turning away from the challenges that the world will present you, and just grow closer to God, and He will grow closer to you. You'll have challenges and difficulties. I've said this a number of times, but why would Satan challenge us as Christians? Because he's got all the rest of them that aren't. Why wouldn't he try to mess with us? If Satan's not challenging you, new Christian, mature Christian, whatever, if you're not feeling any kind of a challenge from Satan, you're probably not living out that faith that you proclaimed. Sorry. That's the way it is. Live it. As a new Christian, or even part of any Christian family, this family, mature Christian, new Christian, or someone seeking, talk to others in this church family. Talk to Pastor Mike. Talk to one of us, the elders. Talk to other Christians. Share what's going on in your life. Don't try to do it by yourself. Just be willing to ask for help. If I can't help you, if Mike can't help you, we can find somebody that can. But I got a notion that I'm pretty sure I can't always help, but Mike knows stuff that I don't know. But just be willing. If you're struggling, ask. Ask for help. We're not always very good at that. But for those of us in this, watching this morning, or in our midst this morning, that have not responded to the Holy Spirit touching you, I urge you to do as the early Christians were told by Peter to do. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Most of us in here have done that. But if you haven't, it's time to begin your journey with God is your Father, Jesus as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit as your guide. You don't need anything else. And it's a journey with an eternal heavenly destination. We all have to have faith. We all have to know that God has a plan already in motion for us. We just need to live our life for Him. Amen. That's it for me. If you'll pray with me. God, we're so thankful that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you for the freedom that we have to be in your house of worship this morning. And I pray that each one here and each one listening online will strive to grow closer to you from this day forward. And I just praise Jesus for all that he's done for us. Amen.